Ladies and gentlemen, please notice that exits are conveniently located at the front and rear of this auditorium. When leaving the theater, we suggest that the exit at the front of the auditorium will allow you easier access to the parking areas. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mike Butler.
And I'm Mike Field.
And welcome to Forgotten Cinema Lead Up. Each episode, we highlight a film from a popular series and follow it all the way to the
most recent release. No, it's incorrect, Butler. We're doing Now Showing.
Where the hell is Now Showing? Oh, we don't have it. We just say Forgotten Cinema Now Showing. It's not really. Yeah, that's what we've been doing.
I could have sworn that we didn't, because
I got yelled at last time for looking for it. And you were like, we don't have one. We just do it. Hi, I'm Mike Butler.
And I'm Mike Field.
And you're watching Forgotten Cinema Now Showing, where we take a look at one of the newest releases and talk about what we thought about it. In this case, this week, we're talking about The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, not The League of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
I fixed the reel that you did. I saw the post
that you changed the thing.
Did you see that I dubbed you with my voice?
Oh, no, I didn't watch it. You also dubbed me.
Yeah, you're like, hi, guys. This is it. We're talking about The Ministry of...
I love it.
All right, so we watched this yesterday.
We did?
We went to our local Cinemark, our local Cineplex, excuse me. Our Cinemark, it was a Cinemark, but we went to our local theater. And we actually didn't watch it in IMAX because it's not in IMAX. We saw it in one of the other theaters where it has the recliners that were in interesting shape, to say the least. What do you want to start here? You want to start off with what you thought right off the bat, or what your anticipation for this movie? I mean, I didn't have any kind of anticipation for this film.
I like Guy Ritchie. What was his last movie we saw? The Gentleman? You saw Covenant. I didn't see Covenant.
Was that his last? That was his last film?
Yeah, the Jake Gyllenhaal one. I'm pretty sure that was the last one.
I saw Covenant. Yep. Yeah. Wrath of Man is his too. Right? He did Wrath of Man, right? Wasn't that the one with Statham? Is that him or is that Antoine Fuqua who did Wrath of Man?
You're right. He did do Wrath of Man.
Right, because I remember he directed that during the quarantine pandemic.
Yeah,
he did it on a but so did Fuqua did the one with Jake Gyllenhaal where he's the responder, where he's the 911 operator, like he's been suspended and
that was also remote as well.
Yeah, well, he was like in a van off set, so because you could tell like it was shot during the pandemic and they weren't near each other and stuff like that. I guess The Covenant's the last one. I did see that. You didn't see Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre, whatever that, you didn't see that one with, that's also with Jason Statham and Hugh Grant. That's the one he did.
No, I wanted to. I didn't get to see that one because I don't know where it went after it was in theaters. Because that's also got Josh Hartnett as the idiot actor, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's actually not bad. That's pretty. That's not bad. Yeah.
Last one I saw was The Gentleman. Yeah. Which I didn't like. I did not like it, but I was like, all right, it was okay when I saw it. But the more I see clips of it, the more I want to go back to it. Because every time I see a clip of it, I'm like, I like this scene. Oh, I like this scene.
Colin
Farrell's really good in that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's a show now too on Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah, I think it is because somebody I know watched it and he was trying to get me to watch it. So I said, I'll get around to it. But anyways, let's talk about this film, which I already forgot the name of it. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Okay. I don't know, man. What did you think? I guess that's probably the perfect question to ask.
I mean, it's a movie where for 2 hours, they pretty much kill Nazis. So I dug it. Yep. It's always fun to kill Nazis. I think we talk about in the podcast, it's always nice to have a bad guy in a realistic movie where it's like, yeah, no, they're the bad guy. And it's easy to be okay with all the murder. I was a little disappointed in the violence level. Like the violence was there, especially when Alan Richardson's character goes nuts. But it wasn't very, it's rated R, but it's not very gory. It kind of hides the violence. It's almost like it's trying to be PG-13, but they say the F word a couple times.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe there was some, maybe they were kind of on the fence trying to figure out what they wanted to do, rating wise. I thought that a little, I mean, we're so used to, I mean, I guess I'm waiting for like an Inglourious Basterds type bloodbath kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I can understand that. There probably were some stuff like when he's got the axe and he's like, you know, he's definitely doing some bad stuff. It leaves it to the imagination. But again, to be fair, I guess I don't know if Guy Ritchie's really known for that much.
I was thinking that too after the fact. Yeah. I can't remember, like, Smash doesn't have a lot of blood. Gentleman obviously.
No, I mean,
blood. It's like, it's violent gangsters, but there's never a lot of hardcore violence, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Right. No, he doesn't. Yeah. He never, his movies don't really kind of cross that line where like a Tarantino might or others. I can't think of it at the top of my head, but yeah. So I guess I was fine with that. But like with it, when you talk about the bad guys, I think there was never any real danger of them being caught or being killed or, you know, like anything happening to them. So I think that, you know, that kind of like it allows you to have to enjoy the film and not worry about that kind of stuff. But then there's no stakes at hand. There's no kind of like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Right,
you kind of know they're going to get away with it. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. But I think this film's clearly trying to set up another one. I would assume like they're trying to do more because it felt like that.
I mean, according to the film, Gus, who's Henry Cavill's character, only has one more mission in him before he gets captured.
That was him who got captured. I thought it was you mean Henry Golden?
Is Henry Golden Gus? Who's Gus? I thought it was Henry Cavill's Gus.
I don't think so. I'm not remembering
who Gus is.
Hang on. You gotta know these things going in, man. Now he is Gus, but I don't think he gets captured. I think it was I thought it was like Hayes or something like that, or one of the other guys, or Freddy Alvarez. I thought it was one of them who gets captured. Because Gus was the first one they pop up, and it talks about how it gives them like all the stuff. He was the inspiration for James Bond. It doesn't tell anything, but then the second or third guy is the one that gets captured and who never breaks.
I thought they just go back to Gus and saying Gus did another mission afterward and he got caught, but he never broke.
No, that wasn't. I really don't think that was his character. I think that was somebody else because he ends up marrying Marjorie Stewart like a year later after that mission. That's what they said in the, but regardless, who cares? Regardless. So yeah, I didn't really have any kind of, I don't know, negative thing. I enjoyed the film. I didn't really have any kind of, oh, that took me out. I didn't like this, you know, anything like that. So I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, I guess maybe my biggest knock, whatever was there's no stakes. There's no right. Concern that they're not going to get away with it or they're not going to do what they need to do. I will ask you this though. They go and steal one boat, but weren't there three boats that they were supposed to get? Isn't there like a third boat somewhere or two other boats in a different, like, you know what I mean? Like they were like,
there were the U-boats themselves or whatever, but they decided we're just going to steal the boat that's going to supply them. And that's just going to screw them over.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess the montage of when they're sailing, like, cause at some point they got to sail for 12 days and it's like, nothing really happens with the ministry. They're just kind of on the boat sailing along. So I didn't really think that there wasn't really much happening. And then at the end of the movie, when they kind of, they line them all up and they have Heron with them and they have Marjorie with them. They're like, yo, ministry of ungentlemanly warfare. It's like, but I didn't think that they were part of that. I thought they were just add-ons. They were just there to help out. They were setting everything up. And these ruffians were the actual guys that, you know.
Right. They were just spies sent beforehand to get the information. And it was everybody.
Then they lumped them together.
Because they all got caught in international waters.
Right.
With the German, with a mission that was unsanctioned. So even though they were spies, they were still doing the unsanctioned mission. So they were still technically traitors to their country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah.
But
do you go ahead?
Well, another thing when you talk about stakes, it's like you have the, oh, what's the actor's name? I actually really like him. The German guy. He's got an
he was heavier. Till Schweiger. He was heavier in Bastards. He was like bulkier. Not heavier.
Well, because he was supposed to be super scary. Yeah.
Right.
He wasn't quite like the bear. The bear Jew is like, obviously Eli Roth was huge, but he was supposed to be like someone you don't mess with who killed like a ton of Nazis. But in this one, when he appears, it's like you get, oh, he's got blood in his hands and you see the beaten woman in his, briefly, in his, I guess, beating room, which is, I guess, okay to have
torture right cabin.
Yeah. But it's just like, there's no stakes. You don't get to see how bad he tortured. Like, not that I want to see how bad he tortured her, but like, there's no real stakes. Again, we don't know exactly, like, we know he's got like a thing for beating people, but there's no stakes with his character. I never felt like Isaac Gonzalez's character was ever going to be was really in danger. Right. Like, she's Marjorie. The one person that you're supposed to think like, oh, Marjorie's going to get got. And it's like, I never thought that.
No, like when they were going to shackle her up and then they hear the explosion and he's like shackle her or whatever. But I didn't think they were going to take her with them. I thought they were just going to leave her there. Then, you know,
that's what I mean? I thought too. And then she's in the car.
Yeah.
But then I thought maybe they'd get hair on his character, the guy from Strange New Worlds, because he gets caught in he gets caught in the electric room trying to shut down the power. And I was like, oh, all right, then that's it. He's going to get caught. One person's got stakes. And then, I mean, granted, it's based on a true story. So if they all survived, they all survived. But like, that was the one moment I thought, all right, someone's not going to get away with it. And then he kills every single person and he gets away.
Right. Well, with the exception of Heinrich Luhr, which was the character that Till Schweiger played, the other Nazis were kind of bumbling. They're kind of buffoonish. Like, they're very easy to kill, very easy like to trick, very easy to like, I mean, and maybe that's just kind of like when they went to the prison, and they rescued, the guy Phillip, that,
or whatever,
Henry, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Was it Philip? Yeah. Henry.
Oh no, it was Jeffrey.
When they go to rescue him, it just doesn't seem like the Nazis were a well-organized unit all over. Right. And I don't know if that's just the location of where they were, like in terms of in Southern Africa, or it was just kind of, you know what I mean? Like they're not in the fight kind of thing.
I think it was also kind of just like, hey, we want the Nazis to be buffoonish and we want a movie. So it's kind of like
Hogan's, and nobody's going to complain. And nobody's going to complain about that. Yeah, exactly. Nobody's going to complain about that. That you know, they want to see the ministry take care of business and whatnot. So, and it's got really good action in that way. Especially like you said, Alan Richardson's character. What's his character? Anders. You know, he's got a lot of good stuff going on. Then you got Henry Cavill just kind of quipping here and there.
When he goes in and he starts laughing with the joke and then he takes everybody out.
Oh, in the barracks when they go to the prison.
Yeah. Or the one Nazi who's trying to get the commander's attention and he's like, shut up. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's too late because the AA gun just rips through him.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you this because I don't know this offhand, and I don't know, because you love James Bond so much, I'm wondering if you know this. The Cary Elwes character, Brigadier Gubbins, who's M. The history of M, what is that? Do you know like when that started? What that, like, you know, the whole character of M? Because you see that
it all starts in World War II in terms of like what Ian Fleming did. I'm pretty sure there is real life, at least during World War II, there was an M. That was an actual station. Actually called M.
Yeah, I'm curious where the origination of the term M comes from. I don't know if you knew that offhand.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I think it comes from master. Like, he's the master of the group. That's what I always assumed.
But he's under
spy master
Churchill. Yeah, but he's under Churchill. He's under the PM. Yeah. Okay.
Well, because Churchill basically started that spy. Churchill was big on the underhanded kind of stuff.
I thought that was whatever, the Kingsman.
To get whatever his results were.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious about that. If you kind of got to give a plug now for the actor that played Ian Fleming, Freddie Fox, he's actually in a show that I watch on Apple called Slow Horses with
Gary Oldman.
So I recommend that. That's actually British. Do you know what it's about? Do you know what the Slow Horses are?
It's like a bumbling group of the underdog group of spies.
They're not bumbling because they're in Slough House. That's where they're called Slow Horses. That's where they're located, in Slough House. And what it is agents that have messed up, have done something like with not just like screwed up an op, but you know, maybe have a gambling addiction, just screw ups. But they don't quit. So they send them to Slough House where they just sit there. And Gary Oldman's like he's their boss, and he's kind of a screw up too, but he just doesn't, he's like extremely mean to them. But anyways, the guy played Ian Fleming, he's in that show, and it's a good show, and they keep getting renewed. They got renewed for like, what I like about the show is they're like six episodes. And when they end the season, they've already shot the next season. So you see a preview of the new season coming up, and it's based on a bunch of books. Yeah. And it's a nice quick show. It's about spies in Britain. So I don't know. I recommend it. If you're ever feeling that itch.
I do want to check it out. I do. Obviously I love spy stuff. So of course, it is on my list of stuff to check out. I have to finish Roman. That's what you're good.
Yeah, please. I've already watched Monarch. I already watched that whole thing. That was 10 episodes, baby.
Look at you go.
I know. I said I would do it when we did the now showing for Godzilla and Gen Kong, whatever, blah, 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 whatever that was. That subtitle again, the Forgotten Kingdom,
New Empire.
So anyways, so I guess there's really, I mean, we liked it. It's a fun movie to go to. It's clearly a movie for dudes, I think, primarily. I mean, although I would imagine it's probably going to be coming to digital real quick, because we were 2 of 7 in the theater last night.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the young people, the teenagers that were there, not teenagers, they probably were like in their mid early 20s, really couldn't care less about what was on screen. So, because they were goofing off. So,
right.
It was just you and me. And then there's two single dudes sitting in front of us separately.
Oh no, there was an old couple as well.
Oh, was there? Okay. Yeah. So there wasn't a lot of people in the theater. So I would imagine this is coming straight to digital very soon. But hey, that's them's the breaks, right? The theaters are dying.
Well, I mean, they were also, and I think I mentioned it to you, they're going up against two other rated R movies. You've got Civil War, which is still doing well in the box office. And they went up against Abigail, which is a horror movie that's rated R as well. So then you have this World War II kind of Guy Ritchie movie kind of stuck in the center. One thing I was a little disappointed with this movie is it didn't do a lot of Guy Ritchie stuff. I don't know if you kind of caught that or were disappointed.
I noticed that.
It's like a heist or a plan. It's all about a plot, a scheme, and they didn't really do the typical, because here's what we're going to do. All right. But what you don't realize is we already done did it. I was a little sad they didn't have any of those moments.
Well, it was more of a linear, story. So I guess you really didn't have to I was trying to remember if they do like kind of background on people. He does it though. When Gus is saying who he wants to be on his team, they do kind of do that little flashback to the each character, but not in the way that, you know, we're used to with a Guy Ritchie film.
Right.
So I understand that. And, but I think it's because the story didn't lend to that. I think it's more of a linear story that's what probably, you know, Guy Ritchie realized maybe, you know, he didn't need to do all that. Cause I mean, I enjoy all that stuff, but it's depends on the story. It depends if it needs it, you know?
Well, I think this with the scheme, it would add some kind of tension to scenes where it's like, you don't know if they're going to get out, but it's like, oh, but like the guys who get chained into their warehouse, maybe you don't know that until that's revealed. Oh wait, they've been locked in, or, you know, oh, we're going to blow up the lights, or, you know, you can add tension and then reveal how that tension is resolved afterward, which Guy Ritchie's usually really good at.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not done it before. He didn't do it in Aladdin, of course. You know what's funny is the King Arthur movie that he did. He had some of that in there, and I thought that that was not right for that film. I thought it was off-putting.
Agree. I wasn't a huge fan of that. Yeah.
So yeah. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But hey, I think what we got was good and fun, and I'd watch it again when it comes on digital just to kind of catch it again. And there's a lot of people in it that I didn't realize were in it when we were watching it.
I didn't realize that because you mentioned it was Henry Golding. I didn't realize it was Henry Golding either until we caught it in the end credits.
And I was like, oh shoot, he was in that. And then looking at it now, they had the guy who was the original, Alex Pettifer wasn't he the original Percy Jackson when that originally came out? Wasn't that him?
Oh,
was he in the number four? Is that it?
Whatever. Yeah, he's also in Magic Mike as well.
Right. So I didn't realize that was him.
Then Rory Kinnear played Churchill, which was really like,
this is a side note, but like, or a tangent, but like with all these streamers and all these movies that come out and, you know, like Netflix and Apple and all these shows, it's really difficult to kind of follow a character, follow an actor and just kind of be like, oh, I like him. He was in, because they're all over the place. And then you see, and then somebody pops up in this movie and you're like, oh, they're really good. And you don't really like, they've probably been like four or five things you haven't seen before that were really good. You know what I mean? They're just, it's so difficult
I think that's good for an actor though now.
Oh, they get work.
Yeah. They get a lot of work. They can do a lot of different projects. You're not stuck with just, you know, especially like people that end up doing Marvel. It's like before streamers, that would have been their career. Like, oh, I'm only known for this. This is what I have to do. And like, they can go off and do other stuff. I mean, look at Adam Driver. I think before this kind of stuff took off, he would have been one note. He'd been, I'm a Star Wars villain now. He would have just had girls beforehand. But now with streamers and all that and so many different avenues, I think that's what's allowed him to really be able to do stuff like Marriage Story and whatever that night movie was with Matt Damon. I still have to see.
What was that? You never saw it?
I didn't watch it. I wanted to see it in theaters because I was still working at the theater. And then
the last duel.
Yes. But I think that's really good for actors to be able to do all that. Also, my mom just texted me instead of messaging on YouTube, she's watching and she said, my mustache is doofy.
It is doofy. I said that.
It's based on Henry Cavill's mustache from the movie. This is what he does with his beard.
Well, shave it. So the other thing I was going to say was, well, what you were saying, I understand, but I'm talking about from a audience member, from somebody who's a cinephile. I'm saying it's kind of difficult to latch on to certain, when you see an actor and you're just kind of like, oh, I've never, you know, like more and more, maybe I'm just old, more and more times I just see people like, what, where are they from? Like, so, I mean, I know a lot, most of the cast, I've seen a lot of stuff they've been in. It's just, I don't know. I guess that's my old man take for the night.
I would say that nowadays more than ever, you need like IMDb to follow an actor's, like, find out what else did they do.
Of course.
Because it is, like you said, everywhere.
But if I'm like, let's take it from the fact that if I'm a casual moviegoer, you know, like when you're like, we talk about this on the podcast and the main show about the big head posters that came out, you know, like Harrison Ford always had a big head poster. Tom Cruise has a big head poster because those faces sell tickets. Denzel Washington, big head, because that's why people go there. So like, if you took this cast, I know the poster has a couple of them there, with the exception of Henry Cavill, maybe Alan Ritchson because of
Reacher now. Yeah.
But Reacher's, but again, not everyone has Prime Video. So like, that's the thing I'm talking about. Like, that's where he, and I know he's on, what was the high school football, college football one?
Not Friday. Blue Mountain State was his. Yeah.
Yeah. I know he was in that too. I'm just saying, like, it's very like, we know Heron from because he's in the Star Trek show. So, I mean, like, that's where we know him. But again, not everyone has Paramount Plus. So it's like, it's stuff like that I'm just saying it's maybe for the casual moviegoer, it's really difficult these days to kind of latch onto a movie star or somebody that is on the rise or is in a lot of this stuff. I don't know. That's just something I kind of
makes everybody I'll probably bring up again. Makes everybody a character actor instead of a movie star.
which again, that's good. I like that because it's good. You're getting quality, but again, the world needs movie stars and celebrities. You need that. You know what I mean? You just do.
The world of the movie star is ending.
No, I don't think so, man. I don't think so.
The superstar. I don't think a lot of superstars are going to have to be multifaceted. You're going to have to be a music and movie superstar or something like that. You're going to have to double up.
They say that every decade. You still have people that are strictly, there's somebody out there that we've probably seen in one or two things that's going to blow up again and be a big time action star.
You think there's going to be another Harrison Ford or Tom Cruise? They're out there.
Oh, totally. Totally. They're out there. 100%. Absolutely. We might not be able to zero in on who it is, but 100%. There's absolutely going to be somebody that is on some kind of TV show that you probably have never seen, and they're going to be in something and whatever it is, and they're going to be a star. Absolutely. Believe in the process, Butler. Believe. It's you. It's going to be you.
Not with this mustache.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say about this film, but go check it out if you can. What else do you want to close off with anything?
If you're watching us now, just remember that the live streams in their current format of being available to everybody are going to become Patreon only after the end of May. You got a couple more left. I know we're doing Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and we're doing the, nice. You can use the banners. All right. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Professional production here, pal.
2 or 3 weeks, right?
May 10th it comes May 10th, out. So yeah, May 15th, because we do the Monday after. So 11th, 12th, 13th, we watch it. 14th. May 14th.
Yep. May 14th. And then we're doing Furiosa as well, a Mad Max saga. So we're going to do those, and then it's going to become part of the Patreon. But also, if you want to join the Patreon, it's free. Join the Patreon. Once you join the Patreon, you get access to our Discord, where we can talk movies all the time. Join the Forgotten Cinema community. If you want to be part of the tiered memberships, we have the Forgotten Cinema lead ups, and the lead ups are going to be, we're doing Planet of the Apes now, leading up to Kingdom. And then we're going to do the entire Alien series throughout the summer. So that should be a really fun time as well.
Nice. I'm nodding at the ticker. I'm like, yes, did it.
like the thing says, like and subscribe. That really helps the channel. We hope you enjoyed listening to us babble on about Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And we'll catch you next time. I'm Mike Butler.
I'm Mike Field.
And this has been Forgotten Cinema, now showing.